All right, we're gonna do a three. We're gonna do a three-way crack here. You ready? Okay, three, two. Hold it up to the mic. Three, two, one. Ooh, yeah. Well, here, all right. Let's all
crisp. Cheers. Nice.
Okay, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of the Dead Sailor Podcast. Not only am I here today, as I always am, I have a special co-host, Blake Hansen. Insert claps.
It's me. I'm back.
And then our guest today is none other than Tony Bowman.
Wow.
Did I say your last name right?
It Bowman? Is, yeah.
Bowman?
I think technically it probably is Bowman, but we've always said Bowman, and I always correct somebody when they do say Bowman.
Yeah, you say but Bowman.
It's
yeah,
good to know.
Say Bowman.
I always say Bowman, like when I think about you.
Oh, well.
Daily. Well, you're wrong. You
know, either way.
I was wrong.
As long as you're thinking about me, it's okay.
Think about you guys every day.
Mm-hmm. Tony, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
This is quite
pleasure. I've been really excited to have you on this episode, or just on the show, because you are not only an amazingly wonderful human being, but you're also an incredible artist. And you've got a lot of really cool, unique stuff to talk about, I think.
Well, so, thanks, man.
I know that you, when we first started talking, or when I asked you to come on, you were like, are you sure I've got enough to talk about?
Yes. I'm pretty square, I feel like, but...
What do you mean? No. Like, you think your life is boring?
No, my life isn't boring, but I think words I say are kind of flat.
We'll bring that out of you today.
Okay, I'm excited.
You've got fans excited. And we've got questions.
Oh, wow.
And so we're going to learn some stuff.
Yeah. Whoosh. Okay. Let's go all the way back. Where are you from originally?
I was all the way back. Yeah. So born in Knoxville, Tennessee. Mm. Yep, from the southeast. And then I'd say when I was about six, I moved to North Carolina, just outside of Winston-Salem, the cigarette capital of the world, if you didn't know.
Is it really? Like everyone just smokes, or is that where they make cigarettes?
All of the above. Yeah. You know, you got your Winston cigarettes, you got your Salem cigarettes. RJ Reynolds is a Camel. You know, they're based right there downtown Winston-Salem. In elementary school, we would take tours of the cigarette factories. It's a different life back
keep
then.
Keep talking about there. Cigarettes. We're going to have a cigarette sponsor here pretty soon.
Yeah.
We'll have to smoke cigarettes.
Have fun. This place just
Ciggies.
Up in smoke.
So yeah,
you guys ever smoke cigarettes when you were younger?
I actually have not, which is weird.
Ever?
Yeah,
even with all that background.
Totally. Yeah, my grandparents worked for RJ Reynolds. My parents worked for RJ Reynolds, and I don't really know why I never smoked cigarettes. I always thought they were kind of cool, but I think I linked up with a buddy who him and I decided that our thing is to destroy cigarettes.
Oh.
So people would light cigarettes up close to us, and we would just go. Wow,
nice. You'd like snap it in half.
Yeah, they'd just go flying, you know.
Is that those are probably fighting words where you came from?
We were pretty careful with who we were flicking with, but yeah.
Some old time geezers there, I bet.
Oh, definitely.
Don't mess around with
I wouldn't mess with the geezers. It was all like just homies that smoked cigs that didn't approve of.
So the where your parents worked, is that I guess I'm familiar with that. RJ, is that what you said?
RJ Reynolds is that like the parent company of all these other cigarette brands. Like
I see.
Camel, Winston, Salem. I think Kool's were in there.
What did your parents do at the...
My dad was a sales guy. Okay. So yeah, he did sales. My grandpa did sales before him. It was kind of like a...
Cigarette sales.
Yeah.
So did you disappoint your entire family when you didn't get into the cigarette sales business?
I hardly doubt it, yeah. Yeah, I think they're probably pretty stoked that I was not a ciggy butt brain.
Yeah. Nice. So when did you move? I guess tell us about life in out east, you know, in North Carolina. What were you into biking then? Were you into moto? How did you spend your time as a wee lad?
So my mom had always had horses. We kind of lived in the country. A little small neighborhood surrounded by like soy fields and cornfields and stuff. So I always had room to roam. Always kind of rode bikes as like a get around type thing and jump off whatever I could. And then I'd say when I was probably like 7 or 8, my mom decided to get me a dirt bike. So that made me go a lot faster to these places that I would go. So I started riding dirt bikes around then, but it was really just kind of to like go fast and get away from people and like
the cops.
Definitely get away from the cops. there was a farm that was kind of behind our neighborhood that had this grumpy old dude. And to get anywhere from my neighborhood, I had to like go through his field or cut through somebody's yard or something. And he hated it. He would like wait for us in his truck to like cut through his field. And he would shoot birdshot at us.
No.
Like live rounds.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like from a distance. And birdshot, okay, you know, does kind of spread. But as a kid, you're like 10 years old getting shot at by a crazy redneck old dude. Yeah. And felt like a pretty fucking badass.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, this is like, what are we talking? This is the 80s?
No, this is like early 90s.
Yeah, how old are you? If that's okay for me to ask.
I am now 37 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
30s guys. Nice. There's a couple of 30s guys up in here.
Yeah, 30s guys warming it up.
Okay, so early 90s, you're getting shot at. It's like the Wild Wild East.
It is, yeah.
It's the Wild Wild South, really, right?
Yeah.
North Carolina is considered the South. Yeah. Even though it's north.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Huh. It's north than South Carolina.
It's the north side of the South.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. This is a good
picture.
You
still got Virginia on top of North Carolina, which is even more north.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start getting into kind of like northeast territory above Virginia, I feel like.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so at what point did you go, all right, I'm done. I'm going out west.
So after college... I was pretty much
What did
like,
you go to college for? I'm curious.
I went to college for graphic design and entrepreneurship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Went to Western Carolina. Go Catamounts. and that was pretty much in the middle of nowhere, like as far west as you could get in North Carolina without being in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
It was a very cool little pocket there. You know, you got North Carolina, Tennessee, and then Georgia is like right there.
So that was the
and
beginning.
South Carolina.
That was the beginning of your art like career. Like, were you into art when you were in high school or like a younger?
Yeah. As a kid, my dad was a really nice painter. He does like fine art. But he grew up like in the, I guess 70s as he was a sign painter back in the day. So he would make
sick
signs and like pinstripe stuff and.
Is it for like businesses and stuff or
yeah, just, he would he would do stuff for businesses like, you know, branding on the side of a truck or like, you know, big sign of whatever.
Did he do that as like a fun hobby or did he transition out of cigarette business into art world?
No, before he got into the cigarette biz, because my grandpa that worked for the cigarette company was my mom's dad. So my dad was trying to make it as like an artist back. He was like a surfer hippie dude. And I think my mom's dad was like, hey, you need to get a real job. Let me bring you into the ciggy world.
Yeah, they're corrupted.
Yeah, so then he kind of hung up his brushes for a bit. But he'd always, like, dabble, you know. He always had something going on. So the stuff was always accessible. And he could paint, like, whatever, anything I would hand him. I'd be like, hey, can you put a skull on this? And he'd be like, yeah, sweet.
Nice.
And it was, like, really cool art.
Oh,
like,
yeah, he does really cool stuff, yeah.
That's awesome.
Mostly, like, car and airplane type stuff. He's, like, a petrol head.
Mm-hmm. Sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's genetic? Do you think his artistic ability translated?
I feel like talent is really just, like, not talent. It's just explored interest.
Hmm.
And, I think my dad just kind of exposed me to that art stuff, and I just kind of always did it. The first bike I ever had was like a little strawberry shortcake bike that was my sister's. It was like white and pink.
Sick.
Had a basket on it and stuff. And when they handed it to me, I was so pissed. It's like, I'm not riding this thing. And then my dad just took a rattle can of blue, spray painted it like blue. And I was hyped.
Yeah.
So.
And then did he do any like additional graphics on it or is it just.
Not on that one, but I think every bike after that, I would ask him to paint or. Whatever.
Do you have any of those bikes?
I have one. That is at their barn. It's like hanging up in the
nice. You should get
loft.
That.
I know. It's like one of my goals to get that back out here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's neon green and it has spider webs all over, like black, like psh, 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 psh.
Wow.
It's pretty sweet.
Pepper so this, would love to ride on that.
I know.
This is where your painting of a bike stemmed from. See, yeah, I love this.
It's kind of weird that kind of all like tied together.
Yeah, so like what was the goal for you growing up? Were you like, I want to be an artist, or
Well, I think when I was young, I wanted to be a baseball player. Mm. It was like my thing.
Like, were you like in high school and stuff? You played
baseball? I'd lost baseball by the time I hit high school. Yeah. Started getting into dirt bikes and bikes and some other things.
Mm-hmm. Other things.
Extracurricular activities.
Yeah, totally. So, kind of lost the whole sport thing.
Yeah, I was the same way. I like went to, I think I was in baseball in like, very early, like middle school, and then by the time I hit high school, I actually signed up to play football, which is funny because I'm scrawny as all hell, like, but I like signed up to play football, went to one practice, and I was already really into riding BMX bikes at that time in my life, and the coach was just like in your face, and I was like, I'm out. Never played sports ever again.
Yeah, totally. That's all it takes, you know. Toned.
Oh, for sure. There were some of the guys that we were playing on the team back then were way bigger than I was. I don't even know what I probably would have been a kicker or something. I don't know. Like we need to, or like a fifth string quarterback or something. Like totally. This guy is really small. You need to like, we got to find a place for him where he's not going to die.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, but that's cool. So finished college, you when you went to school for graphic design, did you have a vision for what you wanted to do at that time?
Not at all. I started out college going as just like, I think it was just like business classes. I just took a bunch of business classes because I figured I'm in college, my parents don't want me to like do anything cool. Mm-hmm. So I'll just take some business classes, but hated it. Hated college. I was like, this sucks. I need to move on with my life already. And then I was like, I just want to be an artist, Mom. I just want to paint stuff. She was like, no, you can't. So then I was like, well, what if I did like graphic design? Like there's some jobs there probably. And then I could do like the entrepreneurship because I already had a bunch of like business classes mm-hmm. stacked up and that could kind of go towards the mm-hmm. entrepreneurship side of things. So yeah, I just kind of did that just to kind of appease the folks and classic. Get through it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And then, so you finished college, and then that's when you were like, "I'm coming out." Did you move to Washington immediately, or did you?
No. So back up a bit. When I was probably like, I don't know, 12 or something, I met this kid named Jack, who is the reason why I'm into mountain bikes now. Mm-hmm. His folks found gold on their property in Canada, which is crazy, when he was probably like 9 or something, so they came into like buku bucks.
Oh my and God.
Like
not
any a little bit
no like plenty, like they were
plenty,
they were set.
Oh my
God. Yeah, and he lived in this like big farm that was behind my neighborhood, and it took me a few years to like meet the kid, but my mom was looking to move her horses closer to our house, so it wasn't like a 30-minute drive to like deal with her horses, and found out that this barn had like a couple open stalls or whatever. So she went up there and talked to the guy, and then she was like, oh, he actually has a kid like your age. I'm like, oh, sweet. Okay, cool. So I go over there and just kind of like walking around the property. It's really cool. Big rolling hills and like a huge pond and cornfields, soy fields, all this stuff to like play in that I was actually like already fucking around in.
Mm-hmm. Without the knowledge of all these other people.
Totally. It was just like land that was behind our neighborhood and we would like build stuff in the woods or whatever. My mom was like checking out the barn, I like wandered down and found this little tree house that was kind of above the pond. And me and my buddy climb up there and we're like up there like, dang, this is sweet. And then we see this girl riding her bike, long red hair down the road. And then I'm like, is that a chick? And then all of a sudden she like pulls up in a wheelie and I'm like,
oh yeah.
So then me and my buddy like climbed down and we like, the way the road went, it kind of like came up and then dropped down. So she had like gone down that way. And then we were like waiting because there's like a dead end. She had to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So we were waiting and Yeah, finally lurking, she comes like back creepers. Over. We're like standing on the side of the road. Like,
what'd you guys
do to her? We're like, where is she? Is she coming back? And then, you know the saying, far from good, but good from far?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the other way around, whatever. As she's coming over the hill, we're like, she's not that cute. Like, she looked way cuter from up there. And then realize it's not a chick at all. It's Jack. It's my buddy Jack. He had like long ass, scraggly red hair. And okay. It was the first real mountain bike I'd ever seen. It was a Gary Fisher Joshua coil shock and full suspension deal. It was like the real deal. So as he's coming closer, I'm like, dang, that bike is sick. Like, what is that thing? And then he's explaining, oh, this is like a real mountain bike. Like, you ride Huffies and shit. Like, blah, blah. So then him and I hit it off like right away, and he's like the homie from like day one. So I don't remember why I backed up that far, but okay.
This is how you ended up coming out to Washington.
Right. So he could afford whatever bike he wanted.
Because he had buku gold money.
Yeah, they
did
had
he
like,
just buy bikes with bars of gold? He was like,
I don't know how they paid for
I
anything.
I wanna know, did you ever catch numbers?
I didn't. We I did always not. Wanted I did numbers. Not. I did not. Yeah, he had some decent money. His parents, and they didn't act like rich people. Like, he was like a total redneck kid, had like longest, scraggliest, red, greasy ponytail. And they were just like country people, you know, like he's a total country kid. He had a real nice bike. So then it was my goal to get a nice bike. So I saved up like $400 and I bought a giant Rincon, just like base level, but we would jump the shit out of that thing and it was trashed.
You would just share the bike?
No, that was my bike. Oh, okay. And then he still had his Gary Fisher or whatever else he wanted, you know?
Yeah.
So I knew I couldn't afford anything other than that bike, so I begged a local bike shop to hire me when I was like 12.
Oh, nice.
So I started working at a bike shop when I was 12, just like sweeping floors, taking out trash, you know, all that shit, working for shop credit.
Mm-hmm. Grom stuff.
Total Grom stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then, after I had that job, all through basically like middle school, high school, went to college, got a DUI, bummer.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Does that still chase you around these days?
No, actually, it's Canada. Yeah, I can. Oh, but they usually stop me and give me a little hard time. But yeah.
They can
it was
still
so
see
long
it.
Ago.
I thought those left the record, you know,
yeah.
10 years,
yeah.
20 years.
Well, it's been a long time. Like, that was probably in, like, I don't even know, 2000. And
what do they say to you at the board? Do they like, are they like, are you drunk right now?
No, they don't. They either are just like super cool and like, hey, what do you do? Where are you from? Where are you going? Who are you going with? All right, pull over. Like, gosh.
As they read down the list.
Yeah, totally. They're like, da 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 da.
Oh.
But the DUI was because my college I went to is in a dry county.
Mm.
But the county over, you could buy booze. Mm-hmm. And there's like some bars and stuff. But there's just one road. So the cops would just sit up there, and anytime anybody was.
So does a dry county mean like you can't drink at all? Like if you have any, like if it's. Any limit, like any like noticeable limit on your mouth.
Dry county just means they can't sell booze.
Okay, gotcha.
So like, like limits and stuff are all the same as everywhere else is, but just you can't get alcohol.
I see.
Like in a dry county.
Yeah. And the cops are just looking for it.
There's nobody there but college kids in this town, mm-hmm. other than like some crazy backwoods locals.
Yeah. So you're professors. Coming home at midnight.
Well, my story's a little different, but.
You don't need to get into it if you don't want to.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but I think I'm just going to pull us down this rabbit hole here. And not...
That's what this podcast is all about, by the
way.
We should change the name.
Yeah, well.
Rabbit. To the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Doing donuts in the parking lot of the bar is not a good idea.
Damn it, Tony. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you were a hoodlum, huh?
I like to get into some trouble.
Yeah.
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 I read on the internet something about spray can trouble.
There was a bit of spray can trouble.
You're
too.
Spray can kid.
Wait, so you did graffiti too?
He's a graffiti
kid. I did.
Kid.
Yeah. So in high school, worked at a bike shop, and I would dabble in the spray can arts on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Of
Winston-Salem.
It's
a bit of a spray canner myself.
Oh,
actually,
yeah? Cool.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of cans
from the cops.
I got a bunch of cans all saved up. We should. hit the town one night.
A couple of geezers just running from the cops again like we do.
Blake's graffiti name is Blakesy.
Oh, nice.
Clever.
So original. Yeah,
what you got. That's good. That's smart.
Nice.
Worth some money one day.
What was your tag name back then?
I had a couple. I think the very first one.
Was it Made Rad? I would love if it was Made Rad.
Yeah, I just spray buildings. Made Rad. No, I think the first name I ever tagged was Mastodon. Nice.
Whoa, cool. Yeah,
yeah. Are you a metal kid too?
I started out kind of metally. Some of the first shows I ever went to were like metal. It was really like who I was hanging out with, I think, the most. I listened to all kinds of shit. I wouldn't call myself a metal head, but I like some metal.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get back on track here. So where were we at?
I had my job at the bike shop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All through high school, got a job in college at the bike shop. And then when I graduated, they were opening a new shop in Asheville, which is like 45 minutes east of where I went to school, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So when I was done, he was like, hey, you want to I can pull you over to this new shop if you want to live in Asheville for a bit. I was like, hell yeah, that'd be sweet. But then snowboarding was like my other big passion. So I worked at this bike shop, at the new shop, for like maybe a year or so. And then I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. So I just packed up and moved to Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
As people do.
Yeah. So I lived there for a while. And then I was kind of sort of getting back with this ex-girlfriend, which was very stupid. Because she had moved to Hawaii when she found out that I was in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So during mud season when I was in Colorado, she was like, why don't you finish my lease out with me here in Oahu? I was like, that sounds excellent. Yeah. I'll just like put all my shit in my truck and stick it in my buddy's garage and like deal with it later. Uh-huh. So I went there for a while. The relationship was kind of flat. And yeah. I was like, I need to figure something out. Uh-huh. So the whole time that I'm there, I'm like applying for jobs anywhere. Like, mm-hmm. just get like, if I get a job, I'm out. So we ended up after this stint in Oahu, we went back to Asheville, and then I was very miserable. My job at the bike shop had been filled, so position wasn't there. I started selling cars at a Chevrolet dealership. Had to wear like a dusty old, dude, it was terrible. Nice. So then I was really itching to get out. So then I applied for a job at Specialized, and then it took like, I don't know, 8 months or something to get through this whole like hiring process that they do.
It's crazy.
It was pretty crazy. But
it's Specialized. It's just like real.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a serious. Yeah. My grandpa was like, what are you going to, you applying to be the CEO? Why is it taking so long? But yeah, it was like 10 different steps to this whole interview process.
And that job, the job you were applying for, what was that?
So it was in their department called SBCU, which is Specialized Bicycle Component University. So it's basically like retailer development.
Okay.
So I...
training stuff.
Training stuff. Yeah. So I like taught classes to retailers, basically. They would fly out to Morgan Hill for like 3 days out of the week. And I was just like their host.
Yeah.
Which was the dream job because it was fun. Basically like, it was so fun. I just got to take people on bike rides. Yeah. I met people in bike shops like all over the place, uh-huh. you know? So anytime I went anywhere, I'd be like, yo, remember me? Uh-huh.
Yeah, you would just take people out to dinner, take them on rides, have a good time.
Yeah. It was like,
Uncle Mike would pay for it.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was like being sponsored, but not having to be that good, you know?
Yeah.
Like I got two bikes a year. They were on loan. But every year I would get two new bikes, so it was sweet.
It's the move. They really take care of their people for sure.
They definitely did, yeah. And especially my department, since I'm like basically the face of Specialized to a lot of people in bike shops who are the face of bikes to a lot of people. They really like tried to shield our department from like any drama or bullshit going on or whatever. So they like kept us super happy and just like bopping along like, oh yeah, Specialized is the best thing ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, yeah, it's a very unique department, I feel like, at Specialized. Yeah.
So when you, how long were you at Specialized for?
I was at Specialized for about 5 years.
Okay. And then during that time, were you always in that position or did you move elsewhere internally?
So they kind of assume that in my role that I had, there's like a burnout period, you know, and it typically is about 4 to 5 years because you're basically just like on, you know, dealers show up and you got to be like, stoked.
Yeah.
Which I always was because it was like a great job to do and had fun doing it and loved the people I worked with. And Specialized to me was like so much fun and just like an awesome time. So yeah, I did that role the whole time, but they're very good at like kind of moving people around if they want to be moved around, if it's like a feasible thing. So I was kind of working towards the whole art department in a way.
Cause they have their own internal like paint division and stuff like
that. Yeah, they've got everything that they need to make anything that they need.
Yeah, that's super cool. Yeah. And you had a background in painting. Had you already started airbrushing as a hobby?
So in college, once my parents kind of caught wind of my spray can, you know, fiascos or whatever, they
all the new art popping up in your town.
Yeah. My mom really tried to hone.
All your friends started calling you Mastodon.
By then I'd moved to Touch was my tag.
Touch.
Yeah.
Your persona starts changing.
Yeah, it did. It was a big thing.
Women start flocking around.
You know, I don't know why they flocked, but it might have been the name. So yeah, I think my mom was really just trying to like focus me in somewhere other than the streets. So she bought me an airbrush kit.
Cool.
So I was like, oh, this is sweet. I'll try this. And then a friend of mine, there's a huge motorcycle museum not too far from where I went to school. And they have the largest collection of American motorcycles in the world, I believe. It's called Wheels Through Time is the museum. It's in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. And my buddy that I had met, who is a local at the college town that I was in college at, he was their painter. So he came over to like a party at one of our houses or something and was like, hey, who did all this stuff? I was like, it was me. And then he was like, we gotta get you painting motorcycles. Like, all right, cool.
That's
man.
Sick.
Cool.
Nice.
So I would just like go to his house and like sand stuff for him, you know, and he totally like abused me and used me for all I was worth, and then I didn't see much of it, but he was an awesome dude. Still is a great dude. His name's John Dills. Shout out to you, John Dills, if you're seeing this right now. So I think he kind of was the one who kind of like, I mean, I'd always painted stuff. Like my dad painted my first bike. I kind of like always painted my bikes and helmets or whatever, friends' bikes and helmets or whatever else people wanted me to paint. But he was the one who kind of like was like, all right, this is how you actually do it. You know, like the whole process of sanding it down, primer, sanding that down, base coat, graphics, clear coat, sanding, polishing, you know, all that stuff. So he kind of like showed me how to actually do it rather than me just like.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so you wanted to move into that direction at Specialized. Did that ever happen or had you already left before you ever had the opportunity to do that?
I feel like I kind of jumped ship a little early. I felt like if I kept kind of like doing what I was doing, I probably eventually would have ended up hopefully in the art department if they would have had me. Yeah. And Robert Edgar, who's like one of their main designers at the time, he would pull me into like these meetings. So they had one hot rod guy who would come every week or something, like every Thursday afternoon, he would come and like do pinstripe classes with like the whole art department, like anybody in the art department who wanted to do this.
That's so fun. Cool.
So I was like the only one in this little class that like was not in the art department, but I feel like I was kind of getting like my foot in the door and I had been like randomly painting stuff just in my backyard. That was starting to like float around the office and like people were seeing stuff and asking me to do stuff. And so I was working that way, but I pulled out a little early.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you met Keely at Specialized, right?
Yeah. She was the intern.
Yeah. So for the people at home that don't know, Tony and Keely Shannon, right?
Correct.
Are the Keeley owns Groundkeeper Fenders, if I'm saying that right. Groundkeeper.
Yep. Correct.
Custom.
I always Groundkeeper and Custom. I always say groundskeepers.
Everybody does.
I always get criticized for it.
No S, man. Drop the S.
Yeah.
Drop the S.
I know.
Because it keeps the ground. You
know, which is awesome.
From hitting or whatever. It's clever. It's a clever name.
It is a very clever name. Yeah. Which I plan to have Keeley on this show also, so we can drum up some drama for the, that you guys can bring home.
Yeah.
No, so you met her at Specialized.
This is fun. She was the intern.
She was the intern.
For SBCU?
Yeah. She was a graphic design intern for SBCU. Mm-hmm. So we had like textbooks and all kinds of stuff that kind of needed to be redesigned and refreshed every year. So she was kind of the one to start doing all that stuff. And I had been working at Specialized for probably like 3 or 4 months. And then all of a sudden this girl's getting like a little tour of the office. And I'm like, who is that? And there's a couple empty desks and they're like, oh yeah, she's going to start in like a month or so. But she just came in to like meet everybody and whatever. So I swiftly moved my desk close to where her desk
that
is.
That is
nice.
So we were actually so like funny. Like this.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Oh my gosh.
Got her.
I love that.
Okay, so you guys were in Morgan Hill.
Correct,
that's when you met.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. So when you bounced from Specialized, did she also bounce around that same time?
So she actually got quitted maybe like 6 months before I actually quit. Mm-hmm. And then she was doing like just freelance graphic design stuff after her Specialized days. And Morgan Hill, like if you're not working at Specialized, like why are you there?
There's no reason to be there.
Zero. So she was just kind of like, what am I doing here? So the idea had been floating around of me quitting and doing this whole custom paint thing full time. And we could kind of go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So we had it like knocked down to probably like 6 places that we were like, where should we move and try this whole weird self-employed thing together?
Mm-hmm. Had she decided to start? I mean, when I have her on, we'll dig into the like depths of Groundkeeper, but had she decided to start that business at that time, or was she still kind of wondering what she was going to do, like freelance, focusing on freelance?
Yeah, I think she was just originally doing the freelance thing and seeing where that went. She had like some pretty solid clients that were keeping her on retainer, so she was like pretty set, but always wanted to kind of do her own thing. Didn't really know what that was going to be, but knew that that was something that she was working towards. Yeah.
So what were the 6 locations that you were considering moving to?
So because we're in California, we would go up to Tahoe all the time. So of course, like Tahoe was on the list, and we could still see all of our homies because they always come up there too. So it was like a pretty easy pick. But we just kind of went there and like vibed it out a bit and was like, let's see what else we got.
Yeah.
So Asheville was on the list too, because that'd be like closer to my family. Cool place, good food, lots of riding, some good brands to be like kind of close to, and like, you know, people come through Asheville, so that would have been a good pick. But we went there and I left it to my buddy to take us on some like, you know, secret rides, like show us the goods, man.
Yeah.
And it was I was trying to like sort of convince Keeley that Asheville would be a good spot. And he took us on the worst trails ever. And Keeley was like, I'm never fucking riding here again. Like, this place sucks. But it was because it was, like, just spring.
Yeah.
So none of the trails had been cleared from, like, the winter.
Yeah. So I've ridden there one time. I rode Brevard and Pisgah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same kind of scenario where... So I went there not knowing anything. Went into the Hub, right? That's the big bike shop there. Which is a really cool bike shop. They got
super cool.
Big U-shaped bar with like liquor and beer. Like you can like, it's like a legit bar. It's like a bar first and then a bike shop kind of like
totally.
Second.
Nice. Yeah.
But you can like drink a pint of beer and walk around the store and look at bike stuff. It's actually really cool.
Mm-hmm. Location's pretty sweet too.
Yeah. Really cool spot. You know, I asked them, I was like, hey, where do you recommend I ride? And they like, were like, oh, you know, of course, it'd be like anyone that comes into Bellingham, you'd be like, well, there's a ton of great trails right here in town, you know, Galbi, blah, blah, blah. So they kind of like directed me to the, you know, the legal normal trails. Mm-hmm. And I was in my head the entire time. I'm like, I know that there is some gnar around here.
Yeah.
And I wish I knew somebody that could show me around, you know. And I haven't been back, and I hope that one day I can go and visit there and get connected with the right person to to see what truly, mm-hmm. you know, what Asheville truly has to offer, or North Carolina has to offer. But
it's got a lot. Asheville's got a lot of stuff, and a lot of the trails are really cool, but not purpose-built bike trails. Yeah.
That was the thing, is there was like one of the trails, somebody was like, it's a really cool jump line, dude. There's some like awesome, like real big jumps. And I rode it, and it was literally a lip, like a pile of rocks with dirt and a lip with no landing. You just like full huck to flat.
Yeah. What else do you need?
Free jump on the trail?
Yeah. I was like, this is a flow trail. Wow. Yeah.
Is that not what you're looking for?
Yeah. No, I guess not.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so cool Asheville was on the list.
Asheville was on the list. Bend. Keely actually had like a job offer in Bend. And we had gone there once before, and she went solo to this interview. And we just weren't sold, man. Mm-hmm. Just weren't sold. And then I had come up here because I was helping the demo drivers for Specialized while I was doing some work down in Seattle. Popped up here. Helped them set up a demo. Basically at south side of Galbi, and we drove in early in the morning, set up the demo, rode with some local kids who just took us down like Evo to A-Dog, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, holy shit, man, this place is rad.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then we packed up and left. I didn't see the town, like just rode in, did the event,
hit the road.
Yeah. But the place had always kind of stuck in my head, like, dang, like that's what they had. And it was right there. Everybody's like, Billingham Sweet. I figured that would be a good place, but then it just kind of like kept coming up in little conversations, you know, and most people had no idea what Billingham, like where Billingham was, or had never heard of it or anything at that point. This is probably like 2014 or something mm-hmm. like that. People that specialized were like, wait, where are you going? Like they had no idea. But I sent Keely up here because she had never been here. I didn't send her. She came up here solo and just got an Airbnb and like just cruised around. It was the same time that all the college kids were trying to find housing too. So it was pretty tricky. She like was looking at places and seeing like what would be available. And then she saw this ad that just said like 2-bedroom house, fence backyard. And she's like, okay, cool. No pictures, no anything. Mm-hmm. Shows up and calls me like 20 minutes later and is like, hey, we're moving to Billingham. I just signed a lease.
No way.
Like, oh, dang.
She just did it.
So she
it
just was piloted like, the ship.
Well, it was like, oh it was God. On North Shore Drive, like right by Silver Beach Grocery.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were like 2 houses away from Silver Beach. I could see Silver Beach Grocery from like my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And this giant picture window that just like overlooked the lake, you know?
Yeah.
So she saw that window and was just like,
yeah. So what was rent back then?
I think we were paying $1,400.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's like a $5,000. Not really. It's probably like over $3,000 a month there, so for sure.
At least. Yeah.
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 We tried to buy that spot. Out there
and you've got a spot, call me.
Yeah. Holla.
We actually have a lot of people moving into Bellingham as of lately.
It's a bit of an influx.
It is a major influx, which is great. You know, all really great people are coming
in. Get out of our town.
Oh yeah, you've earned that. You've been here for what?
It's been 1 month, weeks.
3 weeks. There you go.
Perfect. True loc over here.
But yeah, everybody's kind of looking for spots, rental spots, and it's pretty thin. It's pretty tough, I think, out there right now.
Yeah, heard.
So, but no, that's amazing. So then you guys moved here.
Yep, we just randomly packed up.
Were you just doing freelance when you got here?
Yeah, I kind of had some momentum build. I'd done some like pretty nice projects that I'm so thankful they came my way because they like never.
How did you find those projects, or did they just come to you?
I think like one of the, so I painted my own helmet at Specialized, and people were pretty stoked on it. It had like Mexican blanket type pattern, you know, on the side, whatever. People were pretty hyped on it. And then Brad Benedict, a guy named Brad Benedict, He's like an ex-pro racer dude and works in the suspension lab and was like pretty known kind of dude. Was still doing a little bit of racing there. And he was like, hey, you want to paint like a couple of my helmets? I was like, yeah, sure. I'll paint a couple of helmets. So I painted his helmets. And then some kid from the bike shop that came through saw, I don't know, something I painted that was like around the office. And he was like, hey, I have this road bike and I've already voided the warranty. Can I send it to you to paint like a Galaxy on it? I was like, yeah, sure, man, I'll do that.
Was that your first Galaxy paint job?
That was the very first Galaxy nice. Paint job. And then the whole Ken Block thing happened. Because yeah, I'd already painted, because I already painted that first Galaxy bike. And then a guy named Chris Reichert wanted me to paint him a Galaxy bike. It was the Tarmac. And we called it the Starmac.
Nice.
So he has had the original Starmac. I painted a number of them since then. But he had the original one. And then Sean Estes, who now works at Fox, he was kind of the PR guy. And Ken Block at the time had like a Galaxy themed like car stuff. So he knew that I had already done some Galaxy stuff. So he just like popped down and he was like, hey man, would you be willing to paint a bike for me? And I'm like, sure. Yeah. What's the deal? He's like, well, Ken Block is going to get a new demo this year and we want it to be like Galaxy themed and we know you've done it before. Can mm-hmm. you do this? It's like, yeah,
yeah,
sure. I could do that. So yeah, in Morgan Hill, we had a pretty sweet house. It was like total college party house, basically. It was three of us that lived there. We had a big pool in the backyard, had enough space that I bought a carport from Harbor Freight, mm-hmm. popped it up, cut a hole in the back and had a box fan in there.
Nice.
And a gravel floor, like some janky wow. extension cords running out there for lights and like everything God. Else. Yeah. So yeah, I painted Ken Block's bike in the gravel, stand in flip-flops. And
that photo of you with that bike that you just recently posted, because Ken passed away mm-hmm. sadly, you was that in that paint booth? I didn't even
know.
No,
that was in the wind tunnel.
Yeah, the wind tunnel.
Oh, at Specialized, because they have their own wind tunnel. That's right,
everything.
Yeah they've got everything.
Yeah. No, that's so epic that you did that. I met Ken Block one time at I was coming home from Japan. And I was sitting on, we like got off the plane, went into customs or whatever, got through customs, and I'm standing at the carousel because you got to pick up your bag before you leave. And then they got to check your bags and stuff before you leave in SeaTac. And I like was standing there. I look over and I see this like guy with this Monster Energy sticker, like big Monster Energy sticker on his bag. And I'm like, huh? I was like, wait, I recognize that. Where do I know this guy? I'm like, holy shit, that's Ken Block, because he's wearing a Hoonigan shirt on, mm-hmm. Or a hoodie. And I just walked over and I was like, hey, man, I don't mean to like, you know, but are you Ken Block? And he's like, yes, I am. And I was like, I love your work, dude. You're a sick driver. And the whole like you starting DC, super inspirational. I think it's awesome. And we just chatted about it. I was like, what are you up to? He's like, oh, we're just getting back from snowboarding in Japan. I was like, sick, me too. Like in Hakuba, he's like, yeah, I was there also with my family. And they were like, just hanging out. And we just talked for like 10 minutes about snowboarding. And then we had this awkward moment where he got his bag. And he's like, oh, cool, man. It was nice meeting you. We shook hands and then he walked away. And then I like, my bag came. And then we both had to go, like I walked over to Oversize to get our snowboard bags. And he was like standing there. And I'm just like, hi again. You know, it's kind of like that super bad totally, scene where you're like, bye, and then you both walk the same direction, you know.
That's so good.
But yeah, that was my Ken Block experience. But he was so nice. He was just like, you know, I'm sure it could be annoying having somebody be like, oh my god, you're Ken Block. I try to play it cool though, you know.
Yeah, what a rad dude.
Did you ever get to meet him when you're painting his stuff?
So I met him when we did the handoff. And then he posted like that picture. And that, I think that is what gave me the momentum to be like, you know what? I can do this.
Yeah.
Nice. Cause after he posted that picture of that bike that I painted and he like tagged me and was like, this is so sick, blah, 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 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I just got tons of emails and like requests and hit ups on Instagram and like,
crazy.
Paint my stuff. And at the time my boss in SBCU, Ann Keeley, were really like, you could do this. Like, this is totally feasible. You should, like, now's the time. Like, mm-hmm. my boss is telling me to quit and, like, mm-hmm. do my
That's tight.
Own stuff. So, yeah, that was pretty much the...
So when you moved to Bellingham, did you have a space to paint at that first house? Or how did you accomplish, like, painting all those projects?
Yeah, so the house had, like... the two-bedroom house, and then it also had a one-car garage with an apartment above it. And at first, they were like, you can have the garage, but we keep a bunch of stuff in the apartment upstairs, so you can't have that. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So I made this, and I didn't know if this whole painting was going to work. So I had my buddy, who is also a specialized employee, who is an engineer, and he, like, moved here the same time we did. And he didn't really have a place to live, so he was staying with us for a while. So I wrangled him into helping me make like a collapsible paint booth, because I still had like motorcycles and bikes and mm-hmm. stuff. And I wanted, if this paint thing wasn't going to work, I still needed a place to put all my shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just like a foldable paint booth that I kind of rigged up, that took up basically that whole one car garage, and I never collapsed it the whole time I was here. So. Dang. Like a good sign.
Yeah. So during that time, what sorts of projects were you doing? Were you, now that you had painted Ken's bike and you had made a bit of a name for yourself and you're getting these projects coming on, like, what other projects were you taking on around that time?
It's just a random person who would hit me up and be like, hey, I want some
painting. So it wasn't any more like pro bike riders or anything like that? It was just like,
I mean,
people that were...
Occasionally there might have been like a pro bike sprinkled in there or whatever, but for the most part it's just like the random person who's like, hey, I want something painted. Be like, sweet, this is kind of my price range, what are you looking for? And then it like narrows in.
This was back when you could get a Made Rad by Tony bike for probably a decent price.
Yeah,
nowadays it's like hard to even get on your schedule.
I'm booked pretty far, which is nice.
No, it's great.
And I'm also a much more selective at what projects I'm taking on at this point. It's because, back then I would just be like, whatever. Yeah, you're going to send me, like, some money, too? Like, cool.
Uh-huh.
Need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever take on any other, like, were you only full-time as a painter at that point? Or what did you?
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as I pulled the plug from Specialized and moved up here, it was just all paint stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then what was, I guess, this is a question for Keely, but when you guys bought a house at some point, when did that, and I remember going, like, meeting you and Keely and going to your guys' space when you lived off Woburn mm-hmm. here in town back then, and you had built a paint booth and everything in there. Was that fairly quickly after you moved to Bellingham, or was this, like, a bunch of time? I guess I think
we moved here. We moved here in October of 2015.
That's exactly when I moved here.
No way.
Yeah.
It was, I actually drove out here on my 30th birthday, like quit my job, moved to Specialized and did this full time, mm-hmm. or moved here from Specialized to do this full time on mm-hmm. my 30th birthday. So yeah, October 2015. And then I think we bought that house off Woburn, like maybe two Aprils later. I'm pretty sure it was in April.
Okay.
So yeah, I think it was like almost 2 years or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
And that was around the time that Keely started Groundkeeper. Cause I remember she was running that in the basement.
Yeah.
That's the thing I love about you. You're both entrepreneurs and you're both like spearheading, like being your own bosses and owning your own businesses. And you're like doing it each in your own spaces in the same house.
Yeah, totally. I was in the freezing cold garage with like just a little tiny heater. Like most of the heat that I had was coming from the curing room because I had to like keep that pretty mm-hmm. warm.
Yeah, I'm sure you had to keep that pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Temperature.
Yeah, it was my space now is much better.
Yeah.
Still cold, but
yeah.
It's good, manageable. Yeah. But yeah, so I think she started Groundkeeper like maybe a few months after we had bought that house.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like a side hustle. I'll let her get into all that stuff.
Totally.
But yeah,
this is about you, but yeah.
Oh, thanks. I can't believe it.
Yeah. No, so I'm actually really, really interested to learn about some of the like projects that you worked on and some of the things that you've done, you know, and what you've been like I don't know what you've been most stoked on. So I don't know if you have like any projects in mind that you're just like, God, that was like one of the coolest things. So the things that sort of jump out is like Mitch Robilato's downhill bike. That's like, looks that you painted like patina with like, you know, it's got a bunch of like, button heads and stuff on it, you know, it's all rusty and whatnot like that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's been some fun ones. There's also been some that have been like such a struggle to, kind of get through, but then when they're done, I'm like, oh yeah, that worked out. Mm-hmm. That was great. So yeah, there's just like a wide gamut of kind of like all of the above. Some of them are terrible the whole way through and just like gritted my teeth and got through it. And the person is stoked. So that makes me stoked. Then there's other ones that I was hyped on from the concept on, you know?
Yeah. So how do you even go about? So if like, I'm a person that comes to you and says, I want a bike. I have this vision, right? Like, for example, the one that comes to mind is like Brin's honeycomb bike,
right? The snake bike.
That's right. Right. The snake bike. And like the way you made the snake pattern, like you used masking of like vinyl decal that was cut, like, and then you painted that, you masked it and stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you wrap your head around like approaching a project like that?
Yeah, so it's different for every project is like so different. So it's like a total new challenge to like figure out how to make something like that happen. Like Bryn, if you know Bryn, he's very particular and specific in what he wants. So he is an example of somebody who's like, this is exactly what I want. Don't stray anywhere from this. So I just have to make that happen. Other people are like, yeah, I kind of want this, but you know, like whatever, like figure it out, you know, whatever. So Bryn really was set on having the snake scales be like the same size as a normal scale would be. Mm-hmm. But wanted it to not be cheesy, cause it's like a really easy paint job to make cheesy, like scales, you know, with like, you could put a snake head on the front of it or like whatever, you know? So he wanted it to like be that red belly black snake that he apparently was always scared of growing up in Australia. Super poisonous snake. So he wanted to like ride that snake, you know? So he was like, yeah, here's all my inspiration. This is kind of how they're like colored. Make it happen. So, so I basically like thought, well, okay, I could go in and like airbrush
every scale,
like freehand, but then you wouldn't get the crispness of like what a scale would be. So I basically like hand drew a bunch of scales that had like the kind of black outline on it, and then laid that down on the frame and made each piece kind of like mesh. Cause you know, frames are very, that's like the most complicated thing you could paint. Oh, like so many curves
and small tubes, like the diameters are like,
Like nothing is straight.
No. Yeah, nothing's straight. Yeah. And where the tubes like meet and everything is like weird junctions that you have to like get a mask to like lay flat so you don't get like overspray or underspray over the stuff. So that one was like very, I pieced it all together, but I had to like pluck every single scale out of
Are you using Keeley's like vinyl cutters?
But she didn't have that at the time. No. It was just like a plotter. So it just cuts, no print. So yeah, I've had one of those for a long time, but, yeah, so I just would spend like days just like cutting snake scale pattern and then like just like just like picking them out and then have a sheet, lay it down and be like, okay, I need another one for over here, and then like patch the like open pieces, and then I would shade each scale individually so each scale had like some shape and
It was a unique shade to each scale.
That is mind blowing. I do not have the patience for that kind of attention to detail, like that kind of work, you know, like you really gotta like be in the zone to like make that. I'd do probably four scales and I'd be like, I think I'm gonna go watch Netflix now.
That's why it's so made rad though. You know, like it takes that attention to detail. That's why it's expensive. That's why it's unique. So cool. It sticks out.
And that was a good one. And that was a nice, like, kind of pat on the back because I, like, randomly came across Bryn somewhere. And I was like, hey, man, I'm Tony. And he's like, I know. I want you to paint a bike for me. I was like, what? Sweet, man.
Because you guys are, like, pretty good. You've done a lot of work for Bryn and Jill.
Yeah, yeah.
So you guys are like pretty tight these days.
Yeah. Yeah. We like hang out, watch Supercross together and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's sweet, man.
Yeah. I still want you to pick me a bike sometime.
Anytime. Let me know.
Yeah. One of these days.
I know. Save your pennies.
Yeah. That's
what I'm trying to get Spesh to paint you that bike that I got painted, but yeah, they wanted to do it in house. Would have been you.
Yeah, I know. I was all hyped
stuck
on
around.
It.
Yeah.
So, and it, like one thing too is like I love popping into your, I've popped into your studio a couple of times, mainly to see Keely. And this was back when Keely was working in your shop. It's, you know, your guys' shop, but mm-hmm. at that time you're sharing the space. And I would always pop in to whatever, meet with Keely about projects. And then, you'd always be painting or working on something. And it's just always really fascinating to watch you figuring it out. Like, one time I popped in there and you were like painting that, it was a road bike frame with a phoenix, like burning feathers and stuff.
Yeah, that one was cool.
And you were like figuring out how to like, you were like dragging actual feathers on the frame and stuff.
Or, I was like scratching out. Yeah. It was like a scratch art.
And I was just like, this is like, you're really truly an artist. Cause like, I would have never like been able to figure out like, oh, how do I make, cause your stuff is so realistic. It's like some of the stuff it would be hard. If you were to just crop in on a photo, you'd be like, oh, that's the belly of a snake right there.
Dang.
You know, like,
cool.
Yeah.
I think I stare at stuff so long that I don't even know if it's like good or terrible.
Yeah.
Everything is cool. Everything is so unique. Like,
thanks.
It's all so different.
Yeah.
I think being a fan of you for so long, like you can tell if that's like a Made Rad by Tony bike little bit, but like also you can't because your stuff is so everywhere.
That's where I was getting in trouble in art school, because they were like, you need to like hone in on a style. Like you need to like have stuff that you look at and you know. And I was just so all over the place. Yeah. I like doing all kinds of stuff, and I like figuring out a bunch of stuff. Like the scratch paint with the feathers, that I'd learned that in middle school. Mm-hmm. You know, you like draw something with crayons, then you spray it black, and then you like scratch off to like get
to the crayon.
Yeah, you know,
crazy.
I was like, I want to do that on a paint job. Yeah. Finally the guy's like, I got hit by a car and I like want this whole phoenix rising up type paint job. So I was like,
that's gonna be my next question. What was up with that client?
He was cool. He was just a dude who got hit by a car and was like, he bought like a new frame and was going to have some time before he could ride it again. He just had this like phoenix rising from the ashes type deal, and totally just like was like, whatever you think is cool, like let me pay you for it and it'll be sweet. I'm like, hell yeah. Well, what do you think? Like, I've been wanting to kind of try this on something. Is this, then I like did a couple test scratches and showed him like the feathers, and he was like, damn, that's cool.
Yeah. So I guess the other question I have is like somebody comes to you, you go, yeah, I'm into that idea. It's going to cost X amount of dollars. Do you have like, are you like, you got to wait, but it's going to be whatever, a year or two. You're like, what's the wait list to
it,
get
it? It varies. I typically say like five to 6 months is like a pretty decent wait. If somebody comes to me, like at this point, I've kind of built these buffers in my calendar. So that's either like if something took longer, the buffers always get soaked up some way or another.
Sure.
If something like comes up or takes longer than expected, then I have this buffer zone. So if like a cool project comes in and it's like a hard deadline, like something for Rampage, like transitions usually.
Right. You've done a couple of Rampage bikes, right?
Yeah. And I kind of now I'm like sort of expecting that. So when they come at me like pretty last minute, I'm like, Yeah, I got you guys. Don't worry. If something cool pops up, I try to slip it in a little bit earlier. But I'm definitely a big fan of under promising, over delivering.
That is the way.
Yeah, that is the way
for everyone. For any anything you do. Under promise, over deliver. Work, school, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Relationships, everything. You always under promise, over deliver.
I'm gonna get it tattooed on my arm or something.
You don't have any tattoos, do you? Oh, there you go.
One giant one because my mom was like, never get a tattoo,
so you had to hide it.
Yeah, you had to hide it.
So back to kind of some of those projects in the painting conversation, you know, like, what are some of your favorite pieces that you've done over the years? Like, you look back and you're like, oh man, I'm so proud of that one. I can't wait to I'm really, really stoked on that.
I think the first one that comes to my mind is Jill's Queen bike, mm-hmm. Queen of Hearts bike.
That one was sweet too.
That was like, cause she's super busy and like kind of bouncing all over the place. So to like really sit down and like work out something can be challenging depending on the time of year, you know? But she told me, I want a Queen of Hearts bike. Like, you can do it. Like, whatever you think is cool, like just do a Queen of Hearts bike. So I had like all these ideas floating around of like what to do and how to do it and blah, blah, blah. And like the timeline was getting pretty close and I still had like nothing. I had like run a couple ideas by her and she was just kind of like, yeah, I guess so. Like, cool. Like, mm-hmm. But nothing was like, oh, that's sick. And then I like very last minute, like the day that I needed to figure something out, I did. And I basically just took like the shape of the frame and overlaid it on a Queen of Hearts card. And just tried to make it so that the face landed like right at the mm-hmm. side of the head tube. And then like it just fit. And it like on the computer, it lined up like really nicely how mm-hmm. everything, like all the colors and patterns and stuff were like so bold and all that. So the tricky part about that was figuring out how to kind of mesh both sides of the bike right. and still make it make sense.
Yeah.
So I think just because it was such a struggle to get to that like very simple like way of getting that design out, and then the process of figuring out how to make it like actually look like the computer did, was just cool. And then Bryn like stayed because it was so that she could race at Crankworks.
This was 2019.
I don't even remember.
That she was queen at the time.
She was queen at the time. Queen,
or she was queen the previous year.
She Both. Was queen the previous year.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was queen the previous year, and then Bryn was like, "Well, I said you have to give this clear coat like some time because mm-hmm. it's takes a long time for that stuff to like degas, and even when she raced it, it was probably like still soft." Mm-hmm. But he like waited an extra day just so that the clear coat could kind of. Mm-hmm. cure up a bit more before he drove it up there. Mm-hmm. So it was like down to the wire. And then wow. we went up for Crankworks and watched her race it. And then she of course won and mm-hmm. was like,
yeah,
like gave me a shout out on the podium and stuff. And I was like, yeah, it's like a pretty awesome. Big deal. And then I think that, it was either that year. It was, I think the year before maybe, Free Hub did their magazine craft. Mm-hmm. And I was on the cover yep. with Bryn's bike.
Yep.
And it was like the first issue.
Yep.
So it was either that year or the next year. But either way, Free Hub threw this huge party. And I felt like such a like celeb.
Because you were on the cover.
Yeah, they're like passing out all the issues, you know. And I'm just like,
yeah. Like, that's so awesome.
It's a wild night. Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I got to experience that one time. I got the cover of Free Hub magazine I was writing the Chief.
Oh, sweet.
At night. It was for the Pacific North or the Cascadia photo book annual. And it was so funny because I like go in there to like talk to them or something and grunt. They're all like cheesing. They're all like, I'm like, what is going on? What do you got? What is going on? What are you guys doing? And then they were like, they're like, oh, we gotta show you something. Or, oh, hey, did you hear? Here's the new issue. And it was like a photo of me riding that Sick. Eric Mickelson took. And I was just like, what? Cool. But then they did the photo. Because they throw a party in the community. Or they used to. I don't know if they still do. But so they threw a party at Boundary Bay for the release of that issue. And I kind of had that same feeling.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
They were like on like talking on a microphone. And they're like, oh, go give the cover boy a shout out. And buy him a beer or whatever. Yeah, it's over there.
Super fun.
Yeah. So those guys are great. I love
them. Awesome. Yeah, I got a few free drinks that night.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. So we got to know about the Aquaman bike.
Yeah.
So how did you get lined up with that one?
So I think just because I had been at Specialized, and I still have some friends over there, My name might be bounced around a bit if they need like a custom paint job occasionally. Not as much as I'd hoped. But yeah. So I got an email from their PR team and they're like, hey, we're going to do a custom painted bike for Jason Momoa. Ooh. I was like, what? Cool. Like, what's the, give me something.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, he rides bike. He actually does ride bikes. And I guess he was shooting some movie in Vancouver, that they were kind of like, you're pretty close. Like we could just like get the bike and deliver it up there. And he wanted a full face helmet to protect that moneymaker of his.
Oh, of course.
So it was going to be, yeah, the bike and a helmet. And they pretty much like, were just like, it needs to be Aquaman themed. Like just go with it.
So had that movie already been out?
Aquaman, I think he was working on the second one.
Okay.
So it was like to gear up for him working on the second one after this first one.
Was this full surprise to him at the time?
I believe it was, yeah. Damn. I think it was a full surprise.
That'd be one, so cool to be important enough to get fully surprised.
Yeah, for sure. I love a good full surprise. that one was actually kind of a bummer for me. I thought that the bike turned out killer. The helmet was awesome. I like really integrated like his tattoos and like all all the stuff. I'd never seen the movie before, so I like watched the movie and would like pause a scene and like be like, oh, there's like tons of jellyfish and like all kinds of like cool like visuals for that movie. So I just kind of like, they wanted an underwater theme, so I like tied in a ton of little details of the movie, you know, and like the light rays coming from the head tube and all that stuff. Bunch of jellyfish that were actually really cool to paint. An octopus like reaching out from the bottom bracket, you know, it was like pretty detailed deal, you know. Then the helmet was like completely different. It was just black with like real nice gold pearl graphics on it, like based around his tattoos and like had like the trident and stuff, you know. And then they were going to deliver it in Vancouver. And I was like, hey, I'm in Bellingham. Is there any way that I could like be there for the delivery? Like that would be sick. It's like hour and 10 minutes up the road, you know? And then they kind of gave me the runaround like, you know, I don't know. And then finally it was the day of the delivery and they were just like, nope, just Specialized team is going to be
there.
What? I was like, really?
That's like a bummer. They drove right by you.
I know. Yeah. And then...
was that the decision of Specialized or was that the decision of like his team or crew or something?
I don't know. I mean, Specialized could have just been like, oh yeah, he's the one who painted the bike. Like, let him be there.
I would imagine that they'd be like, oh yeah, no, Tony should be there.
Totally.
That's like, what I would think.
So cool. They don't have to pay to get me there. Like I can just drive there.
Right. I would assume that they're... you know, a celebrity like that, it's like, we got to keep the head count down. We got to like, whatever, maybe. You know, you maybe never something got a like
reason.
That.
Yeah. I never got a reason. Never knew. And then after the handoff, I didn't hear anything about it forever. Like nothing. I even was like, hey, how'd it go? They're like, he was stoked, like loved it, like super hyped. And then like 6 months later, somebody sends me a like TikTok video of him like getting it and like super hyped, like rode it all around the hotel and like was putting the helmet on. It was just like, yeah, but I got no tag, no love.
Dude.
It was just like totally swept under the rug. Oh. And then I had to like screenshot the photos of him like with it. It was like.
Bummer.
I know a really good lawyer. No, I'm just kidding.
Sue the
ass. That's a fail, though. Come on. That's like anything. That was... That's the one thing you do to respect an artist.
That would have been like such a good boost.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one was a very fun project, but.
Yeah.
But.
Bummer. Well, I'm sorry about that.
No respect.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
On to the next one, man.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa, I know you're watching this.
I know.
You're definitely watching this right
I even hit him up on Instagram. Like, yo, man, I just painted your bike.
You're on the
like,
hook, homie.
Say what's up.
He doesn't run his own Instagram.
No, he can't. He can't.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, let's drum up a little bit of drama here real quick.
Oh, dang.
All right. I want to ask you about, you are very like... You're an artist. You're a hands-on artist, right? Keely is a digital artist, and you guys have two different mediums. Do you guys ever debate each other about like,
oh yeah,
no, print is better than paint. Yeah. No, paint's better than print.
There's always that battle in the household. You know, wraps are for presents, man, and burritos. Uh-huh.
Are you like trying to like put little subliminal messages and Pepper's little head? Paint.
Yeah, watch how cool paint. This is.
It turns out you're actually each other's worst enemy.
Yeah.
Wraps are for presents.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah, no, that's funny. And you guys are both very creative in your own ways. I love to see, you know, you guys are doing your own things together, but separately and
totally
playing off each other. Do you ever contribute to Groundkeeper at all?
No, early days I would kind of help out a little bit, but
yeah, you were painting top caps and stuff, right?
But that wasn't Groundkeeper. That was just like to sell on my website and stuff. Yeah, she kind of stole that idea and is doing custom top caps.
See, now we're getting drama.
We're hitting.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, so that's the other thing is like, you know, I guess, all right, let's say this. Keely's doing art for the masses. You know, she's allowing us peasants the ability to customize our bikes and make them look really cool.
Totally.
While you're tailoring to celebrities and professional bike riders and
or
people
anybody,
with a lot of money.
Yeah, or anybody
who's got a lot of money
wants to pay.
Yeah. Wants to pay the amount of a bike to get a bike painted.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is absolutely mind blowing.
I had no idea this was a thing. When I was like trying to figure out like, can I do this? My boss that specializes like, you can do this.
Well, that's the thing is like you like my question is like your market is just like really rich people, right? That have that want something that is different and unique, and they've got the means, you know, they've got the ability to do that. Like you would think that you would run out of like how big is that pool of people?
Totally.
But apparently it just keeps coming. Which
and there's like more painters that I stumble on Instagram or whatever than like I've ever thought could even exist.
Right. That are like also catering to that same.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. Like most painters kind of have like their thing, you know, some of them are like custom frames, like small frame builders will use these painters or whatever. A buddy of mine runs a shop on the East Coast, and he caters a lot to like Porsche owners, and like will match their bikes to using Porsche color codes and stuff to like make it.
So when they put their Porsche on the roof of their bike on the roof of their Porsche, their bikes match perfectly.
Yep.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, everybody's got their own little thing. Yeah. Definitely did not think that this would be sustainable. Mm-hmm. That's why I made that first paint booth collapsible, because I was like, there's no way this is going to work. I'm going to have to go back and work at the bike shop or something.
Yeah. So do you do any work outside of bicycles, or are you only like painting bikes?
I mean, I'll paint whatever anybody will send me. And that's kind of how I've always been. I think I really wanted to get into the motorcycle world, like especially working with my buddy John Dills. I was like, this is the shit. Like he's like painting like 1930s Harleys like every day, you know, that's like his thing.
That's so sick.
So cool. So I always just kind of like was like, I mean, I guess I never set out to just do bikes or helmets or whatever. It was just kind of like what I did, and it just kind of kept coming and snowballed a bit, and so I just kind of kept going.
How do you stay motivated? How do you like?
Sometimes it's hard, man. Sometimes I'll get like a few projects in a row that are just like a bit deflating, whether it's the person I'm working with or just the project itself. And paint's so like unpredictable and very like, sometimes you've done this like 100 times and it worked, and then you do it the 101st time and now it's just like cracking and like just not adhering.
No
or
way.
Like, it's so weird. And like,
to be that varied.
Yeah, and each batch of paint is slightly different, how they mix it or whatever. So you can just get like a random bad batch, and if you've already put like, you know, 20 hours into a paint job, and then you go to clear it, and then it just like has a reaction. It's just like
then,
so
do you start, you literally strip the bike and start it over?
Yeah.
My God.
I know. That's why the buffers in the calendar are very important.
That's wild.
I don't know how you do it. That is mind blowing because like if we were to run into a wall like that, I would throw the bike in the trash and just drive off into the sunset.
Yeah, I wish I could.
Like, let's talk small business ownership, time management. That's insane.
Yeah. I know.
Like, as someone who also works for herself and does her own thing, like, I would never be able to pull that off. I'd be like fucking everything up.
Yeah.
The whole time.
That's what I feel like sometimes. And then you can't charge the customer more because
you've agreed on a price.
Totally.
And it's not the customer's fault that the paint was a bad batch. Like,
yeah.
You can't blame them for that. Like,
yeah. And then different brands of paint don't mesh. So, and there's no like forum to be like, hey, can I use House of Color paint with like,
I'm surprised PPG? About that too. You can't do that.
I mean, I think it's just so different. Like,
everywhere
everybody's doing different things and like has climates, their own process temperature, humidity, all that stuff can really play like a big role. And
so I guess that's another good question is like do you have a community? Are you involved in any sort of like paint community or airbrushing community at any extent, Reddits or Discords or
so
whatever?
there's a small Instagram group of like probably, I don't even know, five different painters kind of all across the country, that I'm one of them in this little group. So if anything ever happens or like if we need a logo file or something, we can be like, hey, does anybody have this file? So like that's pretty much the extent of it. There's Black Magic Paint down in Portland. And I met Rudy, who runs that paint shop, and he's super rad dude. And everybody in this little group is like pretty open. I also have my buddy Ron Jones, who runs Pro Bike Designs in Connecticut, I think he is. And he's like an open book. Anytime I have a question about anything, I could be like, yo, Ron, what's going on here? What do you use for this? Or blah, 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 whatever. And he's always like super good and open. And
that's can help. That's humbling to hear. Or you totally. Know, it's really great to hear that because like, my thought process, or just at least, you know, in the bike, like, component world, right? Like, it's one of those things where it's like, we're competitors, you know? And so sometimes I feel like maybe, you know, there's that, like, you're kind of like, you're on my turf, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Get off my turf. But the real, like, the reality of it is that the mountain bike market is so big, right? And one brand might relate to one person but not the other, and that brand, that other person might relate to this brand rather than that brand. And so you're not really like, I don't really view it as you're like stealing clients or customers from people. You're just catering to a different client than that person. You know, so
yeah,
it's good to hear that there's, you know, people to lean on each other and their support and that kind of.
And I feel like I probably paint more mountain bikes than most of the other painters. I think road bikes are like a more common place to see custom paint.
Right.
So those bikes don't get like as trashed. And the people riding, there's a lot more people riding road bikes maybe. Especially people with money. They like want exercise and to look cool while they're exercising.
Yeah. Do you ever do touch-ups and stuff on projects?
I really try to avoid doing touch-ups. If it's like a bike I painted and they want a touch-up, like I'll probably take it. But if it's like, hey, I bought this 2015 stump jumper and it's got some chips in it, I want it touched up.
I meant your project specifically. Like if Bryn was like, oh, I got a chip in the snake bike,
I'd be like, just run it, bro. It's a mountain bike, dog. Paint chips, deal with it. You'll get a new one next week anyway.
Bryn would,
totally
Bryn would do that anyway.
He like wouldn't even ride that snake bike. I think he rode it just for like a photo. I think he took it up to somewhere and did a little like to show the belly.
It's got to be like on display
maybe
somewhere in his house.
I think it's hanging on his wall or something.
That's tight.
That's awesome.
Slap some respect on that.
So if you were to put a percentage on how many bikes are actually ridden that you paint,
I would say a majority.
I would
say Bryn's is like the outlier.
I just think about like a really rich roadie individual that's like, oh, I just spent $10,000. I don't even know how much it costs, you know, but like I just spent a ton of money to get this bike painted, custom painted. And then they're like, ride it one time for all their buddies to see, like, did you see my I don't even know, Pro Velo or whatever. I'm not a roadie.
You're doing so good, Tyler. Keep trying. He's so close.
Super close.
You know, they're like, oh, whoa, your bike's amazing. And then they hang it up and never ride it again.
Yeah.
Because then they buy something else. You
know? Yeah, who knows? A lot of the bikes I paint, I like never see again, never hear from the people again. Just like sending your baby off into the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope I taught you well.
Yeah. And you've painted some stuff for like race teams. I remember going in, you had a whole array of helmets that you were like getting ready to paint all the individual helmets.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you do a lot of like team stuff like that or?
Occasionally. Everything's pretty random. Like from year to year, it's like very random at who hits me up to do some stuff. For a while, I was doing the Smith Rocky Mountain team. That might be who you were talking about.
Possibly, yeah.
So yeah, I would have, I think there was like three or four riders on their team. And then each one had like three helmets. So there's like a big push to get those through. So I'm more than happy to do that stuff. And it makes it a bit easier to do like small batches versus like one, because I'm already doing it all, you know, anyway. Yeah, so you might as well do like two or three of them at least.
Yeah.
So I'm stoked when that happens.
Yeah,
but it's not super often. I get like batch projects, like maybe a couple times a year.
Yeah, yeah. One question I had was: have you ever painted like your personal bike that you ride? Have you ever painted your own bike and like still ride it? Like, what bike are you riding right now?
I have a Stump Jumper that I got from doing the Jason Momoa bike.
Okay,
so it's old now, and I'm actually in the process of lining up a new bike. And when I got it, I was like, I'm definitely painting this thing. And then I rode it and I'm like, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Next. See, once you start riding it, it's like, all right, I'm not painting this thing.
I was a bike mechanic for a long time as well.
It's a lot of work.
And when one thing I learned is when you spend your days painting or not painting, working on other people's bikes, your bike is the last bike you want to touch.
Totally.
You're like, it works fine enough.
That'd be true.
Yeah. But up until that bike, I pretty much painted almost every single bike I've ever owned.
That's got to be fun for you.
It's super fun. And it's also like a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
Because you're like, all right, now I've got to ride this thing. And I'm going to be seen on this thing. Mm-hmm. People are going to ask me questions about this. So I should really like put some thought into it.
Yeah.
My downhill bike I painted, and I love that thing. It's like old as shit now, but it's like one of the first patina paint jobs I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty sweet.
It's similar to Mitch's, or maybe you painted a patina bike for Mitch, didn't you?
No.
Maybe that's the bike I'm thinking of then.
It's like greenish. It's
Okay.
It's like the same color as the Kia.
Did you paint a bike for Mitch Robalato?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I made that up then.
You made it up. I was just going to let you run with it, but. Like, yeah, sure. Maybe one day. Mitch is rad. I know him fairly well, and he's like a super sweet dude.
No, I know. I've spent some time with him. He's a fun person to hang out
super
with.
Super fun.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Very nice guy.
I don't know. Yeah, that's amazing. Blake, do you have any other?
I was curious. I thought I saw earlier, like maybe last year, about a new space for Groundkeeper and Made Rad?
Yeah, Groundkeeper moved out of the shop that we were sharing, and she has her own spot now.
Got it.
Yeah, so she's out. She kept kind of pushing me to a smaller, darker corner in the shop.
As she grew.
Yeah, she kept growing.
People now.
She kept growing, and you know, there's only so much time in the day. So yeah, I pushed her out, actually. It's like, all right,
switch that narrative.
Yeah, once you take so much, you gotta like
bounce back.
Yeah, you gotta bounce hard.
Okay, so you guys were sharing a space, and she dipped, and now that whole space is yours.
Correct. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But it's also become like a catch-all for anything that doesn't go in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Goes into the shop now,
which is with like, all the extra space.
Yeah, so much space.
I mean, is that sufficient for you, that space, or do you have plans?
It is, but I also have like lots of personal projects that I would like more space for. Like it was nice. The stairs to get up above the paint booth are on a hinge because I was like, if I ever need to paint a car, which our little Karmann Ghia that we have, I like built the paint booth big enough to fit that Karmann Ghia in there. with the, so the stairs open like this, or they like go up flat, and then the doors kind of go like this, and mm-hmm. then the stairs can rest on the top of the doors. And I figured I could roll, like throw like a welding sheet or something over the back end to like extend the booth like an extra 6 feet or something.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be, by the way, that's going to be really fun for the people that are listening rather than watching, as you going like this and like that.
They're going like, to boom, 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 check out YouTube, bros.
No, that's awesome. So you can, like, so you sort of use that space as made rad, but also your own personal
project. I got like, tons of pit bikes in there. I got some motorcycles, got a big riding lawnmower that we just purchased, which is
sick.
It's about to be lawn mowing season here sooner than later, so... Mm-hmm.
You guys got an amazing property.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. The pit bike track kind of out back near that little creek that kind of flows through there. Didn't you say that the salmon used to run up that?
Yeah. Yeah. The neighbors, it's Baker Creek that runs behind our house. And, one of the neighbors has been there since like the 50s or something. He was like, man, we used to take our wheelbarrows down here and some pitchforks and just scoop salmon right out of the creek.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Probably shouldn't do that. Like, they're probably like on their last leg anyway. Like, that'd be some gross. They're really gross. Salmon
get real gross.
They get gnarly.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that's what we're the salmon that we're passing through that.
Yeah,
creek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you can scoop it with a pitchfork, it's probably pretty gross. Dead old salmon,
totally
falling apart.
Yeah, but you know, back then it was different times.
Yeah, yeah.
50s, long time ago.
All right. Well, maybe now's a good point to kind of wrap things up. Blake, thank you for being a co-host.
I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
This is fun.
We're going to try to keep that vibe going. And I hope that people enjoyed Blake's presence. Tony, this has been an amazing conversation.
Hey, thanks for having me. What an
invite. Do you want to say anything to anyone? Like where can they see some of your art and some of the stuff that you've created?
Maderad.com is the website. Mm-hmm. Check out that gallery. I don't update it that often. I'm terrible at keeping up with my Instagram stuff, but I will try to get better. That was one of my resolutions this year, is to like, let's do 3 reels this year.
Yeah.
but my Instagram is Maderad by Tony, I think. Mm-hmm. At Maderad by Tony. Shoot me an email, maderadbytony@gmail.com.
There you go.
Hit my mom up, tell her you're proud of me too. She'd be stoked to hear that. Hey, Mom, made it.
You gotta say hi to your mom. Yeah, you're on the Dead Sailor podcast.
Woo, told you. Yeah, look, I'm an artist now, Mom.
Rabbit Hole podcast.
The Rabbit Hole. Any really cool projects that you're excited about coming up?
There's some good ones. Fella who's putting on an event in Mexico. In the very near future, should be getting a bike within the next couple days or so. That
very cool.
I'm pretty stoked about.
Okay, we'll be returning and reporting on that.
We will. We're going to be down
there.
Oh yeah.
In 10 days.
We're going down there.
Wait.
Oh, badass, bro.
8 days.
Yeah, a little over a week. We'll be
very cool
departing.
So that one was a bit of a science experiment for myself, which is like the most fun paint projects that I have are like the unconventional projects.
Actually,
so
when this episode drops, we might be in Mexico because
take me with you.
So it's
you
very
come.
Yeah,
dude. Let's if you go. Want to book a flight, dude. We literally have extra beds.
I have a baby though, so. Keely would
bring the baby. Bring Keely.
She's been to Mexico before. She was in Mexico last year, but now is a different story. She's like running and stuff. Uh-huh. So
there's a pool and so our house comes with a golden retriever and a parakeet.
Oh, yeah.
And a butler.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Dang. If you would have thrown the invite out a little sooner than now.
The funny thing
he's
about
bad
this,
at that actually.
Yeah.
Funny
yeah.
thing about this house though is there's like myself. I think I'm the oldest person that's going to be staying. Like I'm dad.
Your
at this
daddy.
House.
Dang, yeah. You should have invited me, man. I'd take that.
He paid for the house too, so he is daddy.
Well, not
got
all
you,
of it.
Dude.
No transitions going to be throwing some cash in.
Word.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm supporting you and Talis and Evan, I think, and then.
Sick.
Everybody else is going to be either paying their own way or
He's my daddy.
Yeah. I'm Blake's daddy.
You lucky girl.
Oh, God. She's going to be calling me daddy the whole time.
I already call everyone dad or mom.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that trip. It's going to be really fun. We're going to do a team building exercise where we go and look at or go check out Mexican wrestling.
Oh, sweet.
And drink tequila. And
go luchadors.
Luchadors.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I got a couple of luchador masks hanging in the shop there.
I got some luchador experience myself, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like top rope in it? What you doing?
Oh, I'm just real good. I'm a wrestler.
Oh, by trade.
So we're going to get you in there, in the ring.
You should get me in there. Event,
and we're going to film it.
You got a singlet and stuff?
Fantastic.
Huh?
You got a singlet and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I got a history, boys.
Dang.
Yeah, we won't get into that right now. We'll get into that another time. Sorry, Tony.
Maybe over dinner.
We're going to try to film an episode in Mexico. So I'm going to bring the mics and the cameras and stuff. And then I want to just sit around, like hang out in the back patio. There's like a really cool, like cabana style, whatever, you know? And so I want to try to just get all the athletes and get Sky and just get people rotating in and out and just film a fun episode where we're just kind of bullshitting.
Cool.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to
be fun.
That'll
time.
Be sweet.
Back to the bike though. Why is it a science experiment? I've been thinking about it this whole time.
It's just a very different approach to the type of project that they wanted, the type of paint job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So TRs. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I can get into it if you
no,
want.
No. Let's not.
I'm hyped on it, but it might be one of those paint jobs that people either love or hate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is like almost the best kind. I don't want everybody to like my shit. You know.
Yeah.
No, gotta have some haters. No, no, no. Yeah, you know, yeah. You gotta have some haters. Yeah.
There's always
life's more
be.
Fun with haters.
Yes.
Tell you what.
Is. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's when you know you're doing it right. When you have people that are knocking on you because they're jealous or envious or whatever.
But yeah, again, the hard part is that I just stare at this stuff for so long that like I totally lose if it's good or not. I have like no idea.
Uh-huh.
So I see it, I'm like, dang, I'm into it.
Yeah.
But other people might see it and just like, what the fuck?
I don't think I've ever seen a bike that you or anything that you painted that I was like, wow, that looks like shit.
I don't know, man. I've seen a couple.
That's because I don't post that much. You ain't looking hard enough, man.
Okay. All right. That seems like a really good stopping point. Right. But Tony, thank you again for coming on. It was really great. I can't wait to have Keely on so she can talk shit about you.
Totally. She
and
needs to.
We're really looking forward to that. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in for another episode. This one, like I said, will come out probably around the time we're in Mexico. And then we're going to film an episode in Mexico and keep it going. 2023 on its way. So,
see.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone. Peace.